Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks, almost 200 stations now, coast to coast, and XM Channel 166 on Saturday, March 16th, 2013. This is episode 961. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by RingCentral. We do everything at the Tech Guy show in the cloud. That's why I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free, up to a total of 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. And buy Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPad, Samsung Galaxy, and other smartphones are worth at gazelle.com. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about tech stuff. Computers,
the internet,
home theater, camcorders, no. MP3 players, no. PDAs, no. We could, maybe there's a few GPS devices out there still, but mostly, that's the good news. For many years, it got to be more and more devices, right, that I'd be talking about. First, it was just computers, and this internet thing came along. So, you know, I got to talk about computers and the internet, then, you know, it kind of a proliferation of stuff. But now we're cutting back because it all comes on our cell phone. In fact, increasingly, that's our computer, isn't it? 8888-ASK-LEO is my phone number if you'd like to expostulate on that thesis. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. Outside the U.S., of course, you can Skype me. A lot of listeners all over the world, thanks to that internet thing. You can also join us in the chat room. Easiest way to do that, go to the website, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. That's the website. A good website, too. Thanks to our note takers, James DeRuvo, who's writing as I speak. James, put a link in to James DeRuvo. and then Josh Windisch, who comes in after the fact, tidies it all up. I've been thinking a lot about cell phones. Of course, is spring now? You can't even say that. I was going to say spring is cell phone season, new cell. No, because then there'll be new cell phones in March, April, May. Then there'll be new cell phones in June and July, perhaps in August and September. And I don't know if there's, I think maybe December and January are the only times you don't get new cell phones. Samsung announced its Galaxy S4 this week in a very bizarre performance on the Radio City Music Hall stage that involved, it was everything but the kitchen sink. And in some ways it was kind of tone deaf because this was kind of a little retro. It featured ladies in cocktail dresses ogling the pool boy and saying, "Oh, I like the fact that the touch screen doesn't require me to actually touch it because my nails are still drying." Whoa. That did not go over very well with the women, not ladies, but the women that I know who said, "Yeah, Samsung, you're trying to sell these to women, really, that way? It's a great phone for January Jones and Mad Men." It actually is a great phone. It's a shame because there was a lot to see and a lot to like about the new Samsung Galaxy S4, and they obscured a little bit with the strange production numbers that they did. But what I found most interesting was how they're positioning it more and more to replace your home computer. That's to me, this is what's really happening with these phones. They are computers. The new Galaxy S4, the processor will vary from country to country. In Europe, it will have an 8-core processor. That's more than your desktop computer. 8-core processor. In the U.S., it'll probably be a 4-core processor. Oh, gee, I don't know. Can it handle the Twitter with only 4 cores? A lot of that processing power is being used for things like, and on the S4, making photo albums. They have a new feature where you just shoot something going on, and then it takes images. What was it? 20 frames a second, and it makes a kind of a triptych of the images. Only useful if the people you're taking pictures of are moving. They had a little tap dancing kid, and they showed how. But if the people are standing there, it's not going to be that interesting. But the point more is that that this phone and then makes this elaborate photo montage and then uploads it, and you're done. There's no computer involved. This is where we're going. This is really where we're going. It's very interesting. By the way, they mentioned if you own an S3 or a Galaxy Note 2, that many of these features, the features that didn't require hardware, new hardware, will be available on older Samsung phones. These are all new Samsung programs, and they're going to have a Samsung health monitoring system, S-Health. Now, this probably will only be on the S4, but they have scales and bracelets and all sorts of things that will tie to the phone and monitor your health and keep track of it. Very interesting what they're doing. The phone doubles as a remote control. It has an IR infrared element so that you can use it to change channels on your TV, because who does? Everybody loses the remote control, right? I mean, I can go on and on. The features they're putting in these phones, they really are becoming more than a phone, more than just a connected phone, more than an internet browsing device or communications device. This is a computer. It's a computer. Somebody in the chat room, Mebwab, is asking, car diagnostics? And probably, but they didn't mention that in the Broadway spectacular. Very, very interesting. Now, that's one new phone. And by the way, if you have a Galaxy S3 or a Galaxy Note 2, I carry a Note 2. Probably nothing to throw away the old phone for. It's more evolution than revolution. Nevertheless, you can see where Samsung's headed. I just got a Z10. That's apparently how you're supposed to pronounce it, because BlackBerry is a Canadian company. So they pronounce this the Z10. It's the new BlackBerry, running BlackBerry 10 operating system. Very nice. If you're tied to the BlackBerry ecosystem, you use BBM for messaging or BlackBerry server or whatever. A very nice phone. But it's interesting when you see such leaps and bounds in the Samsung Galaxy S4 and the HTC One, which is another Android phone that comes out sometime in the next few weeks. This feels very old-fashioned. It's not a lot of features in here. Late to the dance, as somebody said in our chat room. Same thing with the Windows Phone, which I think Windows Phone is great, but it doesn't have the richness of the iPhone and the Android phone. And frankly, Apple's got to be a little worried, because their yearly release schedule now is letting them fall behind. Now, this I'd love to hear from you about, because of course, you know, I'm a tech journalist, which means I have a new phone every month. That doesn't, you know, I'm always using a new phone, so I pay attention to the updates and so forth. But most normal people, it's 2 years, right? Because that's how long your contract lasts. Do you care what the next big thing is? Are they coming out too fast, or is Apple on the right track, releasing big updates every other year and a big update every other year? We're getting a small update this year, the Talk and the TikTok, the 5S, we believe. Rumors are this fall. I'm sorry, did I say that? No, rumors are sooner, aren't they? Oh, I can't keep track of the rumors. I'll go to my my friend Rene Ritchie's site, imore.com. That's where the rumors live. See what they're saying about the next iPhone. I can't keep track of it. It's all rumors, of course. To me, I like to see these updates, but I have a feeling that perhaps they leave a lot of real people in the dust. They just update so often. Let's talk about it. The rumors gone wild. 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. What's your next smartphone? What are you looking for in a smartphone? Can a smartphone replace your desktop computer? All of those topics. I think I would love to see Apple release an iPad mini, which is apparently they're about to do too. That's, I think, next month or the month after. That's another rumor. But I'd like to see them release that with a phone in it, right? Then I don't have to carry a phone and a tablet. I like big because I use this, you know, the more you use it as a computer, the bigger the screen is. Nice, right? The Galaxy S4 is a 4.99, can we say 5-inch screen? 4.99-inch screen. But it is a very high-res screen. It's a 1920 by 1080. It's higher res than many computers. It's just a, what is going on? Call me. Let's talk about it. 8888-ASK-LEO. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I like that song. See, if you like the music, well, we got a great musical director. Kyle Benham, baton in hand, my musical director with the Leo Laporte Orchestra. And and I don't know what that was, but if you want to find out, Kyle puts his playlist together and posts it on his Google Plus page, KyleBenham, after each show. But he also will give it to us, and the handoff, and then we can put it on the website, which we do, techguylabs.com. Liza's calling from Ontario, our first call of the day. Hi, Liza.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Welcome.
Thanks. I had a question. I was looking into getting a video camera, so I just wanted to get your opinion on which kind you think I should get.
Are you a YouTube star? Is that why you want a video camera?
Oh, no, no, no.
You have kids and you want to take pictures of the soccer games?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay. And I ask because there's different needs, you know. But the truth is video cameras are disappearing, aren't they? Because nowadays almost all cameras, like point-and-shoots and better, have video capability, quite good video capability, and most smartphones do too. And so people just figure, well, why should I carry a smartphone, a camera, and a camcorder when I could shoot the video with a camera? Do you have a still camera?
Yes, I do.
And it probably shoots pretty good video.
Yeah, but I don't have it. Like, it doesn't last. It doesn't go for very long. So that's why I just wanted to see what kind of video camera I should get.
Well, now, when you say it doesn't go for very long, you mean you can't shoot 1 hour straight?
Right, exactly.
And what... and why do you want to do that? You want to have the whole soccer game from beginning to end?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're
gonna watch those so you could see the opponent's team and coach against them, or is just you just want to collect them and
you just, well, you know, I just don't want to miss anything. So
yeah, in case there's a, you know, there's, it's funny, the some of the newer cameras, you just point them and they were always recording, and then when you say, oh, that was good, it'll take the 5 seconds previous. So if you just want the goal, you just keep shooting, but you're not really shooting. And then you say, save that, and it'll save 5 seconds in the goal. But, you know, in fact, that was one of the things S4 did I thought was very interesting. It would give you the 5 seconds of audio before the picture if you turn that on, which I guess makes this kind of multimedia thing. Canon's – everybody still makes video cameras, even though the market is really dying out. I guess my favorite is the Canon Vixias, V-I-X-I-A. They're very compact. They're very affordable. The HF series. You know, if you have money to burn, you could use a G10, which is what we use in our studios. They give us very high quality, high definition. They're compact, but they're $1,000. But you can get a Vixia R300 for about $350. Actually less, $250. And these are very compact. You hold them in the palm of your hand. They have nice big screens so you can see what you're shooting. If you're doing a soccer game, you might want to get a monopod. So you could put it on the – it's a single pole, so you can move and tilt and everything, but it gives you a little bit steadier – your hands don't get as tired. Your arms don't get as tired. And it zooms a lot, and it's high def, and it records onto SD cards, so you could pop those out and put them into your TV and watch. That's what I would probably get.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Canon Vixia, V-I-X-I-A. of course, Sony makes them. Panasonic makes them. You know, I just it's a category that's really fading away. If you have a good camera, you can shoot high def video with your camera. And if you have a really good camera, you know, the kind with interchangeable lenses, you're going to get better video on that because you could have, you know, great depth of field and all sorts of, you know, interesting shots, telephoto and wide and all that. That's why more and more movies and TV shows are being done, believe it or not, with cameras, with still cameras. Very typically the Canon 5D Mark III. I see that all the time now in the field. People shooting those, and they're cheap enough. I mean, they're not cheap for regular consumers. They're, you know, $3,000, but they're cheap enough that for a film crew, they can have four of those, get many angles on tripods, and really, and it looks gorgeous. Looks like film. But that's not good for a soccer game. So yeah, if you a little handicap, you go to a soccer game, and you don't even see these as much anymore, do you? You just don't see these as much. Now, the chat room's saying, oh, why don't you recommend a GoPro? I do like the GoPros, but they're not for that. GoPros are for strapping onto your kid's body and seeing what it looks like from your kid's point of view. They're really wonderful. They've become very popular, and there's many others in this category now, but GoPro's the big name because they spend money. They become very popular. Oh, I just played the GoPro website makes music. oh, hello. They're very popular because they're good quality, but they're tiny. And they come with mounts. You can mount them on your helmet, on your chest, on your arm. You'll see, if you go to GoPro.com, you'll see all the video they shoot. It's really first-person extreme video. Cars, motorcycles. Remarkable quality, but not as good, believe it or not. Not as good as something like the Canon Vixia. That's going to give you better quality because it's bigger. But if you did want to have, you know, your daughter wear a camera while she's playing soccer, and then you shoot the camera, shoot the game, then you'd have two angles you could intercut. Yeah, I think, Liza, I think that's a good one. It's funny, though. I do feel like there are a few categories that are kind of dying out. MP3 players dying out. Everybody's got a phone with music capability. In fact, more and more, we're not even downloading the music and putting it on the phone. We're streaming it via Pandora or Spotify or you know, RDO or Moog or Songza. You don't see standalone GPSs as much because, well, everybody's phone has a pretty good turn-by-turn. Even Apple Maps is better in some cases than the GPS you'd buy in the store. We don't see camcorders as much anymore. These are categories I was mentioning at the beginning that are kind of disappearing. Because, unless they're specialty devices like the GoPro. Because, my goodness, we're carrying a lot of hardware in our you know, palm of our hands, in our pockets. Let's see. Jeff in Illinois, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
Great. Welcome.
Great. I've got a problem. I just bought a new modem for my computer, and when I plugged it in for the first time, I had an AM radio going on and at the other side of the room, and all of a sudden, I get a low buzz on the radio.
Yeah.
So I tried doing several things. I moved the radio.
That's good. That's a good start. Moving the radio didn't fix it, then it's probably not coming through the air. It's probably coming through your power.
Right.
So what you want to go to is go down to the Radio Shack, believe it or not, and you get these little what do they call them? That you little clip on things. I want to say Balans. That you clip on to the connectors, the power plug chokes. That's what it is, a choke, and it fixes this problem. Clip on the choke onto the radio plug in, and might as well do it on the computer too. And they're little ferrite rings that will stop all the interference. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by my phone company. I love this. RingCentral.com. When we moved into the Brick House Studios, I finally became a grown-up. It is a process, right? So I was making my employees use their cell phones in the old... I wasn't really a real business. So you got a phone, use it. Problem is, employees don't want to pay for calls on business. They you know, and you want them to that number to show up as your business's number, your 800 number. You need a phone system. So if you're a small business and you're looking at this, perhaps the cost, the complexity is scaring you off. You know, the phone company will put a big box in your basement, a PBX, and it's complicated and you got to lease it. And you, that's just, why not have the PBX in the cloud? Everything else is in the cloud. That's how we do everything else. That's why it made perfect sense. My IT guy, Russell, said, well, you know what I've installed for a lot of our clients, and they've been very happy, is something called Ring Central. And I think you'd love it. I said, tell me more, Russell. Tell me more. Tell me more. And he did. And that's when we found Ring Central. And I am so pleased. Our employees love it. We love it. Everybody loves it. So here's the deal. Go to ringcentral.com. And you can find out more about it. Their videos and stuff. It costs as little as $20 per user per month. And that includes, by the way, long distance. They also get all these great features. So they can, for instance, continue to use their cell phones. They've got cell phone apps. So they can make calls from their cell phone. We pay for the call. It comes in as the business number. Incoming calls can go to their phone as on their desktop as well as their cell phone. Just really great stuff. I want you to check it out. We've got a 30-day free trial at ringcentral.com, promo code Twitter. Call 800-543-9980, 800-543-9980. And when you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free up to a total of 20 phones if you use our Twit offer. This has been a great solution for us. So if you know, I know not everybody is a small business, but if you're a small business, you want to check this out. Ringcentral.com.
Dreams came true.
This is one guy.
I loved being princess down in this beautiful ocean.
We'll find out what that song was later. I think it's a YouTube. You know, one of the things new, it's not that new, people have been doing it for a while, is you overdub yourself. And, you know, one voice, one person, you sing all the parts of a song. And then you make little videos on the screen so that people can see you singing. It's quite amazing what people are doing on the YouTube. Yeah, it is kind of like, somebody's saying it's like Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen, where they had each of them in there, right? And they'd appear and disappear on the video. Scott Wilkinson is here, home theater expert. He is the guy in charge of all the editorial content at the AVS forums. You'll also see his column in The Secrets of Home Theater and Hi-Fi at hometheaterhi-fi.com. And he is our home theater geek. Scott, you got to stop taking jobs because this introduction is getting longer and longer.
Getting longer and longer. It's going to take up my whole segment here.
He hosts a podcast called Home Theater Geeks every Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern at twit.tv. And if you take another job, you're right. We'll have no time.
And then I'll have no time to say anything else.
So let's talk about subwoofers.
Subwoofers, boom, yes.
Boom. I remember the Howard Stern movie.
I didn't see the Howard Stern movie. I'm not a big
mind,
Howard Stern.
It was called Private Parts. And he rumbles into the microphone. And he's talking to a woman at home. He says, okay, now put the speaker on the floor. And I'm going to rumble into the microphone. And, yeah, and so that's what a subwoofer does. It's a rumble machine. In fact, every year at CES, there's a company called Butt Kicker that sells a subwoofer that goes in your chair.
Well, that's a little bit different. That's what's typically called a motion actuator. It does. It actually vibrates your chair when the really low frequencies come out, like when a rocket takes off or a dinosaur roars or something like that. But a subwoofer really is a speaker that is intended to reproduce the lowest frequencies. Most full range speakers, or the typical speaker that you have in your house and in your home theater, can reproduce frequencies up to the limit of human hearing, typically 20 kilohertz, 20,000 hertz, and very few people other than babies could actually hear that high. But most speakers can go up near that range.
Wait a minute, are you telling me babies can hear that high?
Yeah.
Wow. I know teenagers can hear like 15 kilohertz.
Right.
Because they have that mosquito sound they use to drive people, teenagers, crazy, that they'll play outside of 7-Elevens and things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. As we age, all of us, we lose high frequency hearing, the ability to hear these really high frequencies. And so if teenagers can hear 15, us oldsters.
What is the limit now as you get to be like, you know, 40 or 50? Is it 10 kilohertz?
Yeah, I would say 10, 12 kilohertz, something, you know, probably around those range.
You know
range.
What the beauty is? No matter how old you get, you can always feel 20 hertz.
Well, that's true. That's at the other end of the spectrum.
It's not your ears that's hearing it.
Right, right. It's your body.
Your
it's
body
bone
feels
conduction.
It. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. Especially at high amplitudes.
That's
anyway,
what the subwoofers these, for.
Exactly. These main speakers can only go down to 50 hertz, 40 hertz, and we can hear down to 20. And it's even lower if you count the feeling in your body. Wow. So we really need a subwoofer, a speaker designed only to reproduce the lowest frequencies in order to get those low frequencies. And when we're watching movies, it's very important. As I said, dinosaur roars, rocket blast-offs, explosions, that sort of thing. They have all sorts of very low frequencies.
If you watch football on CBS, the whole show is like, boom, boom. My house vibrates when I'm watching football.
Sure. Or even if you're listening to music, there are, you know, for example, the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony, Symphony No. 3 by Saint-Saëns, has the organ playing the lowest possible note, which is, I think, 30 hertz.
Wow. Is he a rap star, Sanson? Is he?
No.
He's a hip-hop artist?
No.
DJ MC Samson? No.
Yeah. No. No,
there's
no.
There's a lot of bass in hip-hop also.
Well, there's a lot of bass in hip-hop.
So I bet you there's a hip-hop song go down that low, too.
I bet you there is, too.
Yeah.
So you really need a subwoofer. Now, there's a fellow who wrote me a question about this, Dominic Zolkos. Who in fact is listening to music. He's not listening to home theater. He's got a Rotel CD player and a preamp and a power amp, two-channel, and some KEF speakers, older KEF speakers. And he said, I really would like to get a subwoofer, but I live in an apartment. It can't be really big, and I've got to stay friendly with my neighbors. So, and I'm not sure how to hook it up.
That's what got me in trouble, the subwoofer. That's why I had to move into a house.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's the other thing about low frequencies is that they transmit very far.
Yeah.
This is how
you know that if you've ever lived in an apartment building and your neighbors have a party, you can't hear the music, but you can hear the boom, boom, boom.
Right. Or when the car goes by on the street that has the big subwoofer.
Right. You could feel that. That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Elephants communicate over miles by what's called infrasonics. That is frequencies even lower than we can hear. But they travel so far. And they're very omnidirectional. The lower the frequency, the more omnidirectional. That is, it goes in every direction. Whereas higher frequencies are more directional. You can hear where they're coming from. They're coming from over. They're coming from over to the right, or they're coming from over to the left. But with bass frequencies, you can't hear where they're coming from because they seem to be coming from everywhere. Anyway, in a home theater system with 5.1 surround and so on, typically the receiver will have a subwoofer output, and the subwoofer will have a subwoofer input, and all will be well. But in the case of this guy and many, many other people with only a two-channel system and two-channel amplifier, where do you plug in your subwoofer? Well, the good news is that the preamp that he's using, and many preamps that you can buy, have two sets of speaker outputs, line-level outputs that go to the power amplifier. One of those sets goes to the power amplifier. The other one can go directly to the subwoofer, which has its own built-in amplifier. That's another thing about subwoofers that's important to understand, is that virtually most subwoofers have their own built-in power amp that drives the actual big cone, typically 10 inches, 12 inches, up to 15, 18 inches, with the power that they need. So in this case, Dominic can simply plug the second pair of line level outputs from his preamp directly to the subwoofer. Then the question is how you can set the subwoofer to reproduce a certain range of frequencies from as low as it can go up to some limit. Now the IQ7 speakers, main speakers that he has, go down all the way to 40 hertz, which is pretty low for main speakers. So he should set the cutoff frequency of the subwoofer. There's a control on the back of the subwoofer with a little knob, a little dial, and he can set that to anything from 40 up to 100 and something. I would set it pretty low. I would set it maybe 40, 50, something like that. So that as the main speaker starts not being able to oomph as well as the subwoofer picks up the slack and takes it all the way down. In this case, I was recommending the Definitive Technology SuperCube 4000. It's he needed it pretty small. And this thing is, I think, about a foot on a side. It's almost a cube, exactly. It's about 12 inches on a side. It's a 10-inch driver. It's not very big. It's not super loud, so his neighbors won't complain. But he'll get that extra bass, which if he's listening to hip-hop, as you say, or electronica, a lot of electronic music synthesizers can go down to 0 hertz, right. Essentially almost go down to DC.
Right.
So if you're listening to a lot of music that has a lot of bass in it, you really do want a subwoofer.
Scott Wilkinson, home theater geek. You can see why we call him that. HomeTheaterHiFi.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, you the bet. Tech guy. Oh, don't play this. That's from the Howard Stern movie. I recognize playing with his subwoofers. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Kyle Benham, our musical director. It's 888-88 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. of A. Ronald's in Los Angeles, our next caller. Hi, Ronald. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. Welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I'm your senior geek here.
Ah!
And I'm calling because I have an old Dimension 2400 Adele machine, and it's about time to get some backup. I've been fortunate, have had no problems whatsoever, but there will come a time, as you say.
That's right. That's right. People think, oh, I don't need to back up until I lose my data. I don't understand that myself. And, you know, maybe it would be wonderful. You do all that backup and you never lost any data. You never lost a hard drive. And you should just say, yeah, I'm a lucky fella. But almost all of us, hard drives will eventually die.
So what do you suggest on an external hard drive?
You know, it doesn't really matter anymore. It's not like there's one brand, Western Digital or Seagate, that's better than the other. Well, I just bought a little. The only things really to look at are what the interface is. Whether you if you have USB 3, for instance, you should use that. It's much faster than USB 2. If you want portable. Or if it doesn't matter if it's going to stand on the desk and so you don't need portable. Portable, you know, costs more and capacities are lower. If you want bus powered or not. So I recently bought a what's called a Passport, a Western Digital Passport, which is a small, what they call bus powered USB 3 drive. So it doesn't need to plug into the wall. I bought it for travel. It doesn't plug into the wall. It it plugs in just to the USB port and gets its power from that. The capacities are quite big nowadays. They range from 750, actually even smaller, 320 gigabytes, which is $56, to the one I bought, which was 2 terabytes, for $128 on Amazon. $128 for 2 terabytes.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Now, these things, they're small enough to fit in your shirt pocket. So the reason I got this is so I can carry it with me because I wanted to back up a laptop. But again, if you're backing up a desktop, it doesn't seem like you would really need. You could get something a little bit less expensive, a little bigger, like the Western Digital MyBook, which is, you know, not designed to be carried around. It's designed to, it has even little feet, so it stands next to your computer. 3 terabytes for that, about the same price.
Excellent, excellent. One other quick question, Leo,
sure.
That I'm having a problem with, and you've been excellent, and that is on the Dropbox, I'm having a difficulty opening 10-year-old documents on my mobile device. It'll open, say, 7 years or 3 years.
Okay, there's several possibilities. It could be the documents are damaged, but let's say that's not the case. It may, in fact, be just that you don't have something that is appropriate to open it. What kind of documents are these?
These are the PDF. I made them in the PDF.
Oh, they're okay. Well, that's a standard format. I mean, if they were AMI Pro word processor documents, you might have a little trouble opening them. 10 years is a long time, but PDF hasn't changed in 10 years. So,
they started out as a Word document.
Yeah,
they,
but you saved it as a PDF.
Correct.
Can you open it on your desktop?
Sure.
It's just not on your smartphone.
Correct.
Oddly enough. So we know the file's fine. Absolutely. Now, I guess what you could do is maybe Dropbox isn't syncing it properly. You could try copying that file from your desktop to your smartphone, just see if it can open it that way. And if it still can't, then maybe it is some form of PDF that is incompatible with a PDF reader on your phone. Your phone doesn't, you know, it's despite what I said at the beginning of the hour, it's still not quite a desktop computer. What you could do, if that's the case, if it's just a deprecated or older version of PDF where there's some content in there that the phone can't read, is open it on your desktop and resave it, recreate it. And then you should be able to open it. So if it's an awful lot of them, that might be a pain to do. Although I wonder if there's a batch, some sort, maybe Foxit or somebody makes it a batch. By the way, another thing I don't like and I don't recommend is using Adobe Reader for your PDFs. It's been so insecure of late, and it's a real target for bad guys because they know that almost everybody has it. See, the bad guys, an interesting thing happened. Microsoft started to patch their stuff, and it's actually pretty secure now. The bad guys used to say, oh, there's an exploit a day on Windows. There's plenty of stuff we could take advantage of. But Windows has gotten more secure, and the bad guys have started to look at other ways to get onto your system. And the biggest way right now is through third-party apps that aren't as up-to-date because people just, you know, Microsoft has an automatic update facility. But people, maybe not updating Adobe Reader, Adobe Flash, or Java as often. All three of these programs have added automatic updates for this very reason, but all three have had in the last week or two major security flaws. So Java has a flaw every week. And partly it's because Java has bugs, but partly it's because the bad guys are looking for new ways to get into your system. And this is a really good one. So I don't use Adobe Reader because it's just too easily attacked. Most operating systems now have some form of PDF reader. But I like Foxit, or Cute PDF. Cute PDF is free. Foxit, the pro, is a really great program that lets you make and save PDFs. I would go out, get Foxit, Foxit, and recreate those PDFs. And I bet you your phone will be able to read them. It's probably a limitation of the phone. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. Mary in Long Beach, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thanks for calling.
Pardon me?
Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a problem. I have Windows 8, and I'm not very savvy on it. And you know how you have the solitaire games that you play?
Yeah.
Well, you have to go to the tile to get to the...
Yeah, they're what we call... This is, I'll tell you, the main source of confusion I have with Windows 8, and most people do, is that there are two kinds of operating... There's two kinds of things going on. There's Metro, that's those tiles, and there's Desktop, which is like the old kind of Windows. So that app, that solitaire app, is a Metro app. That's why you start it from that little tile there.
Okay. So when I go to the program, and it used to run fine. I like to play solitaire.
Yeah.
When I click on a card, it takes forever for the screen to actually perform the action.
Well, that's annoying. That's annoying.
It is. I mean...
It shouldn't take forever. Hang on a little bit. We got to take a break for news, and I want to ask you some questions about what you're using for hardware, because this should be fast, right? Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and cell phones and camcorders and home theater. Yeah, we did it. We talked about camcorders. Yes! Next, I'll get a call about MP3 players. We'll see. Mary's on the line in Long Beach. Actually, this is a check off this box in our Tech Guy Bingo. She's asking about Windows Solitaire. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
So, So Microsoft took Solitaire out of Windows 8, which wasn't very nice of them.
Yeah, now it's on. I have to go to.
You have to go to your Xbox games, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm actually signing into my Xbox games because and by the way, they've given me a gamer tag because I have an Xbox Live sign in, but to get into it and all of that stuff would be complicated. So they've given me the name Dented Expert 51. I think that's pretty good. I might keep Dented. I might keep Dented Expert. That's a good title for me. And then you have a variety of games you can play, and I'm sure Solitaire is one of them because I want to install it because I want to see what kind of machine are you running it on. Was it designed for Windows 7 or did you upgrade to Windows 7?
I'm on Windows 8.
I mean 8.
It came with Windows 8.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a machine that came with Windows 8. Okay. What kind is it?
It's a VAIO E series.
Okay. And is it a touch screen?
No.
Okay. So it was all of the new Windows 8 machines pretty much are touch because it just seems to work better with touch. And
the little mouse pad or whatever.
Yeah, it works.
It's a little bit like touch.
Right. It'd be nice though to play Solitaire if you could touch the cards, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Microsoft Solitaire Connect Collection, was that the one you installed?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to play that here real quickly. Get Microsoft Solitaire from the store. Thank you. Oy, yay, yay. It's almost as if they didn't want you to play Solitaire anymore. They took Minesweeper out, too. I know. It's like, why? Come on, Microsoft. That's why people were buying Windows for many years. Play 5 popular versions of Solitaire, including classic Klondike. Okay. The E, the one you have, was really a Windows 7 machine that Sony kind of put out quickly and put Windows 8 on. All the newer machines now are mostly touch.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's an up-to-date machine, so it should run Solitaire just fine.
It runs everything else pretty well, but I don't know why it doesn't do well with this Solitaire game.
And I'm puzzled, too. That's why I'm actually installing it, of all things, just for you, Mary. Because, I don't play Solitaire. Actually, I like Solitaire. I've been meaning to install it on this machine. All right. And which one do you play? You play the Klondike?
I play the Pyramid.
Pyramid. Let's see. All right. I'm launching Pyramid. Oh, this is fun. You may not hear from me for a while now. How to play. Yeah, I know how to play. Don't show that. Okay. Next. Close. Go away. Okay. So, actually, I don't know how to play. So, but where you're having trouble is dragging cards, that kind of thing?
Well, what it is, you have to click 2 cards that add up
to 13. Right.
Yeah.
And it's slow to do that?
It will click the first card, it'll highlight the first card.
Yeah.
And then when I click the second one, it doesn't highlight it. And it was going blink, and they would flip away. But now it just sits there for a really long time.
Thanks a lot. And it's thinking, huh?
I guess. I don't know what it's doing. I sometimes hear the sound that it's flipping the cards when nothing happens on the screen.
Huh.
So it seems like it's really messed up. And I really
It
don't
does, because I'm playing it and the cards are flying off the board just like they're supposed to. So now I'm puzzled.
Yeah. And on mine...
They're not so much.
First, but now it's not doing that. And I don't know... I don't know if there would be like...
When the card is, the card twiddles off, does it go in slow motion?
Sometimes it does. Like, I can see it sort of move. Sometimes it just disappears, and it doesn't do the flipping thing at all. It just is gone. So I don't know really what's going on.
It'd be funny if it went... I don't know what's going on. The chat room saying, she should just uninstall it and reinstall it. I have, for the life of me, I don't even know how to do that in Windows 8. I guess you go to the programs and features thing and uninstall. I have no idea anymore how to do anything in Windows 8. Thank you, Microsoft.
I'm mad at my son for saying, you'll get the hang of it.
Yeah, I'm going to hang it.
I'm not getting
the hang of it. Okay, so good. So I have figured out how to uninstall or change a program. But I don't even see Solitaire on here. Okay, now, okay. Right-click on the app on the start screen and select uninstall. Okay, let's try that. First, got to find Microsoft Solitaire Connection and then uninstall. Okay, so in Metro... Part of the problem with Windows 8 is it's not one, but two operating systems. It's the old one you're used to, the desktop operating system, and then they've added this whole new thing with this Metro thing. So I didn't know. I know how to uninstall an app from Windows, but in Windows 8 Metro apps, what you do is you press and hold the Microsoft Solitaire Collection button, and then or maybe drag it down slightly, and then there's a bar pops up at the bottom, and you get uninstall, and you can press uninstall and uninstall it. I would try that.
Okay.
And then go back to the store and get it again, because maybe it just got damaged. Okay. If you say everything else is running fine, it's, you know, the computer should be more than fast enough to run Solitaire. That ain't challenging. That ain't challenging.
I can go on Facebook and play any game.
Yeah, right.
My old computer, they were all delayed.
It could be a driver issue. It could be a video card issue. It could be an overheating issue. There's other things that could be involved. But let's just start with the easy thing and uninstall and reinstall.
Okay. I will try that.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Yeah, I'm torn on Windows 8. Now, I did get a Windows 8 laptop with a touch screen, you know, so that I could – really give Windows 8 a chance. And while I love the laptop, it's beautiful and light. It's an Acer S7. They're a little pricey. It was $1,500, which is a lot for an Ultrabook. But, you know, I wanted to give Windows 8 a chance. So I'm not going to get cheap hardware. I'm not going to cheap out on it. And I'm still kind of torn. I feel it has a long way to go. But it is the future of Windows. There's no doubt about that. Microsoft's not going to back down now. They pushed all their chips in on this Windows 8 thing. Apparently, there are video driver issues with Windows 8. Maybe that's it. An uninstall might not be a bad idea, because I think if there were problems with the video driver, you'd see other weird stuff happening. Wouldn't just be that game. I wish I had a better, but more help for you, Mary. I apologize. It's best I can do, I guess. Rich is in Pennsylvania. Hi, Rich. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm terrific. I have an old Dell computer sitting around here that I took out of service, and I'm just wondering what use I could put it to. I see you using it as a file server.
Sure.
Between my two computers.
Sure.
In one location.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing about this stuff. It doesn't really wear out. It gets obsolete. I mean, it's not as fast as the modern stuff, but it doesn't really wear out. So your challenge, not like a car where it rusts through and, you got to get the engine redone. No, these computers, if the hard drive doesn't die, it's just they're going to go for years. So one good thing to do with an old computer is, and I wouldn't leave Windows on it, I'd put Linux on it, a free operating system. You can get a Linux that will work better on that slower machine. And then if you want to make a file server, that's a great idea. The machine needs a network card. It needs to be on the network and can be used to share media and music and video, music, photos, that kind of thing. Could be used for a backup device.
I'm using it for, because I have to do desktop publishing as a favor for my synagogue.
Yeah, let me come back and tell you some of the ways you could do this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, you caught me. I'm looking at the next smartphone, right? There's the HTC One. And then there's going to be the Galaxy S4. So where else am I going to go? Gazelle.com, of course, because I don't want to keep the old phone around. Let's just see. This is the deal. If you know, as I do, that I'm going to buy a new phone, whether it's the HTC One or the GS4, I don't know. But I know I'm going to. So why not get the quote now on your old phone? That way, you can, let's see, it's factory unlocked, Galaxy Note, it's the Galaxy Note 7100, there it is, and it's in flawless shape. So this way, this offer is good for 30 days. So I have 30 days to take advantage of it, plenty of time to get the new phone, transfer the data over, free of water damage. Yeah, how much is that Note 2 worth? Like it, that's going to cover the cost of the new phone. Isn't that beautiful? So here's the deal, $220. From Gazelle for my Galaxy Note 2. Now, here's the deal. Gazelle pays the postage on anything worth more than a buck. don't just stop there, though. Maybe you have some other old phones you'd like to trade up and trade in. Throw them in the box, too. And look at that. The iPhone 4S worth $210. So now I got $430. They even take old computers, old iPods, iPads. You know what? I want to get the new iPad when that comes out. Let's get a quote on my my iPad, third generation iPad. $290. Man, I'm throwing that in the... You can see where you can start. This can start to be real money. No wonder Gazelle has paid out more than $50 million to over 500,000 customers in the last few years. This is such a great thing. I want you to visit gazelle.com. Get quotes on all your old technology. Get ready for the new phones, the new tablets, the new computers. Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. Get paid in cash or PayPal, or for an extra 5%, use your get that Amazon credit. That's a really good deal. Gazelle.com, the best way to get cash for your old stuff. I think the computer is playing solitaire. I don't know what that is. This is a strange song, Kyle. This is strange.
Just us playing solitaire.
It's just us playing solitaire. All right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, coming back with a bang from the break. Look at this. I spilled coffee last week during the show. So now I have to drink my coffee out of a sippy cup. Is that right for a grown-up? I don't think so. 8888 Ask Leo. 888-827-5536. That is the phone number. We were talking to Rich in Pennsylvania. He's got an old computer ready to take it out of circulation, wants to turn it into a file server. What you probably want to do is turn it into what we call a NAS, a network attached storage device. That way you can hook it up to the network, Rich, and control it from another computer via the other computer's browser, so it no longer needs a keyboard, mouse, or monitor.
Okay, that sounds good.
Now, I mentioned Linux, but there's actually software designed for this called FreeNAS. It's actually probably better than Linux. It's based on BSD, which is a very secure form of Unix. It's freely available, downloadable. How geeky are you?
Semi.
Semi-geeky. We also did a show called we do a show called Know How, I as Akhtar and I do on our podcast network. And Know How Episode 5, we talked about using Puppy Linux, which is an easier form of Linux to install to do this, puppylinux.org. You can find that show at twit.tv/kh.
Well, on Twit now.
Ah, hey. So Know How show is on the Twit website. Episode 5, I'm told. We talked about that. And we used Puppy Linux. I like FreeNAS, but it might be a little bit, you know, more advanced. What it'll do is it'll turn that old computer into a very, very useful kind of storage device. You could put it in a closet. You never have to look at it or access it or even hear it. But you do access it over the network from any other computer via browser. And you can download free – it's all free, by the way – plugins that will allow it to automatically – backup computers, to serve music, serve video, Plex, that kind of thing. The reason we use Linux and BSD primarily is because you don't want to ever have to reboot that machine. You just want it to run forever, reliably, securely, forever. And the Unix-based operating systems are better for that. It's a good idea. So enjoy. I think it's a great project. The other thing I would do with older computers is donate them. There are groups in almost every city now that will take older computers, put Linux often on them, and give them to churches and charities and seniors and so forth. It's a really nice way to do it. Becky is in Los Angeles, our next caller. Hi, Becky.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have an iMac, and the hard drive has failed twice now, and they've already replaced the logic board and the power source.
Wow.
In the last 5 months.
Wow, and it's still dying.
And it's still dying, yeah. The hard drive just died again.
Something going on.
Yeah, and they just want to replace the hard drive, but I think something else is causing it, but I don't know what.
Well, I certainly, and I'm sure the Apple Store told you, I would certainly get some power conditioning on it.
No, they didn't tell me that.
Yeah, it's possible you have a lemon. But if they've replaced the logic board, that's in effect replacing the computer, unless the power supply is bad.
But they replaced that, too.
Oh. And this was all under warranty.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I think they've eliminated all the things that they're responsible for. I think the next thing to do is to go out and get a UPS, uninterruptible power supply. And you're not getting it for the UPS feature, the ability to keep going when the power goes out. What you're really getting it to do is condition the power. And by running the power through a battery, through some conditioning, you'll get clean power. If you're powered, it's rare, but I've heard of people with power, home power so rocky that it can, in fact, cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a couple of many companies that make these. The ones I like are called Triplite, TRIPPLITE. APCC also makes good ones. But you want, and there are two kinds of UPSs. Triplite has a calculator that'll tell you, you know, you can calculate how much you need. You could probably go down to the big box store and get something, but it's not going to do as good a job as one that what you want is one that is constantly conditioning the power. Those cost a little bit more. That's the only thing I can think of, is that, you know, your power may be fluctuating wildly or spiking or something, and that's causing these components. They're very fragile.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be beyond the little power strip bar that you get.
Yeah.
The battery backup one.
Yeah. And you want one that is continuous, not one that is intermittent. You want one that is continuous. Chat room, is there a term? I cannot remember, but is there a term she should look for? Is it online UPS? It's one that will always be running off the battery, so it's always conditioned power. They have some, you know, most of the cheap UPSs, there's a brief moment when the power goes out, and then you switch over to the battery. But what you want is an inline one that is always working.
Okay.
They're a little more expensive, but that, you know, are you in an older house?
No, not really.
That's a puzzlement. You know, I don't know why. Have you had problems with other devices, particularly computers in the past, or HDTVs,
no,
that kind of thing? Never.
Never. Nothing else. This is the only problem.
Well, and I have to blame Apple. If you really, and unless it's that particular plug. When you turn off the computer, if you turn it off, you shut it down, right? You don't just,
right.
you don't pull the plug out of the wall or something. No. Yeah, you laugh. I think most people know that, but there are people who will just do that. You know, hey, I'm done. Let's take it downstairs a rip. And you've had other computers?
Yes.
Never had this problem.
This is my first Apple. I made my switch to Apple.
That doesn't reflect well on them. At least they're repairing it for free. But it doesn't reflect well on them.
Apple Care, but they don't treat me very well.
They think, well, they blame you. They think you're nuts.
Yeah, they do.
They think you're doing something, because you got to understand geeks. They're very rational, right? So if they can't figure out what's wrong, then they blame you. But I don't blame you. It's not. I know you're not doing anything. It's just a mystery, Becky. It's just a mystery.
Yeah, it is a mystery, but I'm really worried because my Apple Care.
It's running out
in September, and then
oh gosh,
I don't know what's going
on. And it hasn't been reliable the whole time you've had it.
No, it hasn't.
I would bring it back and say, look, you've done everything, you've placed everything. It is dying again. I need a whole new computer. This is a lemon.
They told me that's not an option.
Ugh. You're going to the Apple Store, huh? I would write a letter to Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Believe it or not. The office of the CEO will get that, and I bet he'll respond. So here's what you do in a case like this. I was just looking into the lemon laws in the state of California and federal lemon laws, and in both cases, they cover computers. they do cover computers. In California, it's the Song-Beverly Consumer Warranty Act. In the federal laws, the Magnuson-Moss Federal Warranty Act. In both cases, if a computer or any consumer device fails after numerous repairs to be fixed, you have the right for a refund or a new computer. So that's what you're armed with. Now, the next step is to not go back to that store. The Apple store wasn't responsive. But to write to Tim Cook, CEO, Apple Computer, One Infinite Loop, Cupertino, California. The letter will go, believe it or not, to a team, an executive response team. Most big companies now have an office of the CEO that will respond to letters to the CEO, particularly in a case like this. Explain to Mr. Cook, very politely, don't be angry, but I made the switch to Apple after hearing many good things about your company and its customer service. I purchased an iMac. I've had it for 2 years. I purchased AppleCare. Document thoroughly the store you brought it to, the dates, you know, the more documentation you have, the number of times you brought it in, what they repaired. Say the store has refused to replace this computer, but it continues to fail. I believe this is covered by the Song-Beverly Consumer Warranty Act, and I would like a refund or a complete replacement. And I'm doing this because I called a national radio show, listened to by millions of people, and Leo Laporte, the host, told me that I have the right to a new computer. So give me one. No, don't get angry. But you will hear from them within 48 hours. You really will. Just mail them and document. It's very important to document the repairs that you've had done. And they are actually by law required to respond. It's a shame. It's a real puzzlement, and I understand why. The geniuses should. There's no excuse for them being dismissive or blaming you. That's not right. But I understand their puzzlement because this shouldn't be happening. And in fact, the only thing I could think of, and I think they should have suggested this as a power conditioner, but that's going to cost you money, several hundred bucks. And it's no guarantee. If it still fails, then you really do have a lemon. I really think that once you've brought a computer back for repairs from any company several times, they should give you a new one. They should replace it, presuming that it is a lemon. Now, if it fails again, okay, now we know it's your fault. You know, now there's something wrong with the wiring of the house. There's an electrical field surrounding you or a little black cloud over your head all times. There's something wrong. They didn't fix it, and you paid for it, and it's an expensive computer. And, Apple does not want this kind of publicity. They really don't. So I think writing to them and say, look, I called a national radio show. This is what he said to do. The implication is you'll call them again, and you will, I'm sure. I hope you will, if they don't respond. We'll use our power for good. Ronnie, Anchorage, Alaska. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Leo. I got bumped last week. It's a shell full of crap guy.
Let's do it again. I'm so sorry. You got a full 4 minutes. All yours.
I wanted to a couple things. I'm a convert from iPhone to Android Note 2, partially because of you. And there's a guy on YouTube, Lucid Mike. He does a bunch of videos for operating the Note 2.
Oh, neat. I'll have to check this out. Lucid Mike, huh?
Lucid Mike. Yeah. And he has, like, well over 100 videos. And one of the things that he had on there, he had a caller last week that was talking about printing from an Android tablet. Now, I don't have a tablet, I can't say. But if you get an OTG cable from a Monoprice or Amazon or whatever, and they're really, really cheap, you can plug it in. You can print directly from the Note 2 to any USB printer.
Well, the OTG cable I'm aware of, it's a special kind of USB, micro USB cable that allows you to plug a USB cable into a regular USB cable. But
to the Play Store and get print share.
Ah, so you'd need some software because that's the issue is that you need the driver that understands that printer, right?
Right. Yeah, as soon as you plug that OTG cable from your Note 2 into any USB printer, it'll say, hey, do you want to print the, you want to load these drivers? And you go,
Excellent. Well, yes, I do.
And then it'll print. You can print directly. So I don't know about the tablets because I'm an iPad guy.
No, I bet you it's the same. OTG stands for on the go. And the idea really is to turn the micro USB adapter on the phone into a standard USB port, which you could then print your plug your printer cable in.
Yeah, check out that Lucid Mic guy. He's got some awesome videos for. Now he's in Korea. I don't know if you say this right. Korean American, would that be right?
Sure.
But he's living in Korea.
It's Lucid, Lucid like that?
Yeah, Lucid Mic, all one word, and then it's like numbers behind it, but it should pop up.
I'm going to find that and watch them because I'd love to get more information. Now, the other solution which I recommend and I think is a very good solution is Google Print. But in order for Google Print to work, you have to have a Google Print capable printer. But I can print from my note via Google Print to my printer at home anywhere, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but you're limited to your connectivity, which this is if you're in an environment where
right.
you just want to print.
Love the idea of being able to hook it up to my printer at home and doing it. That's really cool.
Yeah, because I've done it at work because I work for the government. So, you know, I can't print from my iPhone at work, but I have a printer of my own at work, and I can just print to it and do, you know, when I make my notes and stuff.
It's called the Daily Note 2. He does a daily show on the Note, and it's Lucid Mike 78.
Yep, that's him. And he has some awesome videos. And it's not just all Note 2, but a lot of it's just showing you a lot of Android features, but most of it's, you know.
Galaxy Note 2, tips and tricks. He's got 76 episodes. That's a lot of tips and tricks.
No, it's more than that. That's just one avenue of it. He has like over 100.
Wow. That's what's so cool about the internet. I mean, in the normal course of events, there wouldn't really be a market for one guy to do hundreds of videos on a single model of phone. But thanks to the YouTube and the internet, yes, there is. and millions of people are getting value out of this. I'm just looking at one of his tips, 11,000 views. Obviously, he's doing something of great value. That's really great.
And his Note 2 is weird. And I don't know why yours didn't come like that, but he has a 64 gig Note 2. And his has a TV antenna. He pulled it out. I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He probably has the Korean model. Samsung does that. In fact, they're going to do that with the new Galaxy S4. There'll be different models with different capabilities all around the world. So, yeah, I have the unlocked European one. It doesn't have a TV antenna, though. That's hysterical. That must be for Korea only.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one more before I go.
All right.
Everybody's talking about Roku, Apple TV, smart TV, on and on and on. And I have an Apple TV that I watch your program on and a lot of the programs from Twitch. From my iPad, streaming it.
Rock on.
I love it, but they all are lacking a browser. So what I was on the internet playing around, just like you're saying, on the internet, nobody's talking about the mini Android PCs. They look like a Snicker bar that sits in the palm of your hand.
Aren't they wild?
Android 4.1.1.
Yeah.
And you can load, and it's just like having your phone hooked to your computer.
No, I know about these. There's some that are USB sticks. They're amazing. Amazing. And it's because Android is an open source free operating system. Great tips, Ronnie. Thank you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Very, very funny. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm going to use the force now. 8888 Ask Leo. Very, very big deal. And I haven't talked about it yet, but I'm going to right now. Happened on Friday. A federal judge. Bravo, U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston made such a major pronouncement for privacy, and I'm just thrilled about it. She has found the national security letter unconstitutional and has banned them. Do you know what these are, these national security letters? Essentially, it's broad powers for the federal government to go to, say, your phone company, ask for information, and tell the phone company, you cannot tell anybody we asked. You would be in violation of federal law to say anything about this. Judge Ilston said that the non-disclosure provisions quote, significantly infringe on speech regarding controversial government powers. The lawsuit stemmed from a demand letter in 2011 from the FBI to a telco, I think it was AT&T, saying, we want information about a customer. The telco said no. We don't know what the telco was, but they said no. We are going to challenge this. We challenge the underlying authority of the national security letter, and we challenge the gag order that comes with it. And now they've won in court. The Justice Department actually sued the company, saying that the company, whoever this phone company was, violated the law by challenging the Justice Department's authority. Now, understand that these national security letters occurred after 9/11, part of the Patriot Act, but the Obama administration has expanded them wildly and has used them, I think, in inappropriate ways. And I am, there have been 200,000 national security letters issued, and more than 97% of them come with a non-disclosure order. We want this information, and you can't tell anyone. Permanently. Ever. So we'll watch with interest. I imagine that there will be an appeal. The Justice Department will no doubt appeal to the Supreme Court on this. But this is a real victory for the people against overreaching government. So thank you. It's a brave thing to do, U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston, for saying the national security letters are unconstitutional. They cannot use them anymore. And somebody in the chat room is pointing out, absolutely, they could send me one and say, who are your source? What was your source on that Apple leak? And I would never be able to tell you. And I would, of course, have to reveal a source or go to jail. Huge victory. So I just I wanted to mention that because it has a lot to do with electronic privacy. The Electronic Frontier Foundation was very involved in this decision. They've been fighting for our privacy and our rights online for a long time. They said the government's gags have truncated the public debate on these controversial surveillance tools. They helped represent the telecom company, the unnamed telecom company, in this suit. Wow. Big story. Big story. Let's go to Doug in Orange, California, our next caller. Hi, Doug. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
My home telco is AT&T.
Yes.
No longer want to use them anymore. Have DSL Extreme on your recommendation.
Good.
Do I need to have that AT&T active phone line, like with a phone number?
You don't.
To be able to utilize DSL Extreme.
You don't, but go ahead and try to get it. Yeah. It's called dry DSL, and the idea is the problem is AT&T owns that copper, right?
Right.
They put it in and they own it, but they do, if you can talk them into it, they do allow you to keep the copper and keep using it for internet, even if it's not from them. Without a phone number, but you're going to have to get it's called dry loop, dry pair, sometimes they call it. You're going to need to get DSL Extreme's help, I think, on this. I would certainly ask them. They're used to dealing with these telcos. And you got to understand, this is why I kind of support independent internet service providers. The FCC requires the telcos to allow these guys to put the equipment in the center, in the central office, and to offer this service so that there's competition in internet access. It's a good thing. But the telcos do everything they can within the law to make it difficult.
Which they have. They have most definitely. DSL Extreme did not know what to do exactly because all of a sudden I just wasn't getting any signal.
So you disconnected from AT&T and they disconnected everything.
Exactly. But I can't do that.
Because they want you to use... See, they're in competition with DSL Extreme. They want you to use AT&T Internet.
Those people are thieves.
I'm not a big fan.
Out of my mouth, not yours, of course.
No, I'm not a big fan. If you go to AT&T's website, it even says, get DSL without phone service. But what they're talking about is their DSL, not somebody else's DSL.
Beautiful. I will call those lying, cheating bastards.
See if you can talk them into it. You can. I know they do this. Now, apparently, somebody in the chat room says Verizon just changed its policy and will not offer dry loop, interestingly enough. I don't know if that's even legal, but the problem is, if it's not, go ahead and try and get some relief from the FCC, and good luck to you. In 10 years, you might be able to do it. They do all sorts of other things. For instance, if you want to change from AT&T DSL to DSL Extreme, they will disconnect the DSL and then delay as long as they can the reconnect for DSL Extreme, leaving you without internet for some time. And, you know, and DSL Extreme kind of, and on the other, and I know many independent internet service providers like this, and they're kind of at the mercy of that. So what they generally say is, well, one way around it is to get a second line, put the DSL on that, disconnect the first line, then switch the number over to the second line. It's crazy. It's crazy. John is in Southern California. Hi, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, John, hold on. I hear the magic music that tells me it's time for news at the top of the hour. We'll take a break, come back with more, and your call first, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, we're going to get back to the tech guy in just a bit, but I want to tell you a little bit about ShareFile.com. If you do business, you know that you probably are sending files around. Probably you're using email to do it, sending those documents and spreadsheets and PowerPoints, contracts. Really? Email? You really want to attach them to email? You know, how do you know that it's secure? How do you know it's even going to get there with bounce backs and everything? There's just no guarantee. That's why I don't use email. I use ShareFile. ShareFile is important to every business. I want you to visit ShareFile.com and take a look. It is file transfer built for business. ShareFile from Citrix sends your attachments as secure links. So you can send files of almost any size with the highest degree of security. And they customize it for over 30 industries, everything from accounting to consulting to education, finance, healthcare, legal, printing, compliant with HIPAA and other regulations for privacy and security. So easy to use. You can access your files, too, from anywhere, laptop, tablet. They even have smartphone apps. I love ShareFile. It's how I share all my files with the radio stations. And if you're not using ShareFile yet, you need to sign up for my free trial now. You don't need a credit card. Nothing to lose. Just go to ShareFile.com. See why millions of professionals rely on it every single day. ShareFile.com. See you up at the top. Right at the top, radio listeners, click here. This is like the radio, just pretend. And I want you to use for the podcast, for the Tech Guy podcast, I want you to pretend it's radio. I want you to click the start your free trial and use the offer code Tech Guy. All right? TECHGUY. Tech Guy. One word. ShareFile.com. Try it. You'll love it. La, la, la. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and cell phones and camcorders and MP3 players and home theater. We're trying to get Johnny Jett on the line. I don't know if he's around. Our travel expert. He's an expert on getting great deals online and using the computer and so forth to help you in your travels. He's got some interesting stuff to talk about. And I did talk to him a little while ago, but I haven't. We were having trouble raising him, so I'll let you know when we do. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. Johnny was in chat, huh? Well, I don't know. We can't get his Skype going, so I don't know what's going on. I was showing the chat room in between breaks this new BlackBerry Z10. You call it Z10 because BlackBerry's from Canada, right? And boy, you know, you look at the Galaxy S4, the HTC One, all these hot new Android phones, even the iPhone 5 and the presumptive iPhone 5S sometime later this year. And you look at this BlackBerry, and I, you know, while this is nice and everything, it's just kind of an also-ran. I think they've done some very nice things with it, but it just doesn't it doesn't offer anything that these other devices don't offer and do better, except that it's BlackBerry. So I think it will appeal to anybody who's kind of in the BlackBerry universe. If you use BBM or BIS or your company is a BlackBerry company, if you're in the government, I know everybody in the government's BlackBerry, then maybe you'll like this. This kind of is it's an iPhone-alike for BlackBerry users, basically. Very limited apps, although they have some of the apps that I really like. I do like the operating system. I think they've done a nice job with that. There are no buttons. It's all slide, in, out, up, down, left, right. But just not anything that would make you say, gosh, I have to have that phone. Even the Nokia Lumia 920 Windows phone, there were things that made you say, oh, that's a great phone. I got to get that for the camera. I got to get that phone. But not this BlackBerry. There's Johnny Jett. Hey, Johnny.
How you doing, Leo?
Good to see you again, Leo Laporte. Johnny Jett, our travel expert at johnnyjett.com. Okay, where are you? I know where you are because I see your Facebook feed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just landed. I was a little bit late.
That's okay.
And I've tried to do the call from the American Airlines Admirals Club, and they're like, it's $80. And I was
whoa!
Like,
whoa, no. We're not worth that much. No. You wait till you get your free Wi-Fi there. So, well, maybe I don't know where you are because I saw you in Florida, but have you gone somewhere else now?
Yeah, no, I just landed. I'm home. I just got home.
Okay, good. Welcome home.
Thank you. So I had a nice week.
You wanted to talk about something that isn't super techie, but I still think is quite interesting.
Okay, which one's that? Oh, your reader question, or because I do have a techie.
You do whatever you want, Johnny Jett.
No, let's hear it, because I did get an email from one of your viewers asking how I travel, which, you know, I
would love that. I mean, you're the expert. You travel more than any human alive.
Well, one time when I have better lighting and stuff, we'll just go through my bag and show you everything that's in there.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
But I do not check bags. I think it's a huge mistake for everyone to check bag. It slows you down. It costs money. And it's, you know, so I carry, if you want to know what kind of bags I carry, I have a Briggs & Riley briefcase laptop that has my two computers. It has cameras, all my gadgets. And then I have a Roots duffel bag that I got as a wedding gift for to be in someone's wedding. And it's a great duffel bag, and I pack all my clothes in there, and I can stuff it everywhere.
So now this is good, because this was the listener question. So what is Johnny carry? So the Briggs & Riley, I had not heard of, but they say for road warriors.
It has a lifetime guarantee, and it's just as strong as durable. And it fits underneath all the airplane seats, which I love. You know, the one I have.
So, so the idea is that if you're not going to check bags, you have to have – you're allowed one bag that fits under the seat, and then one personal bag, which could be a laptop bag, which is how everybody gets around this, because what is a laptop bag? It could be huge. So that's kind of what you've done. So the Roots duffel bag is – does that fit in the overhead or under the seat?
Yeah. That fits over in the overhead.
Are they getting more strict about that? It seems like they are.
Oh, for sure. They're now measuring everything. Even bags, their measurements, by the way, their little thing that you their sizer that you put it in is much smaller than what the bin is. And they're like, well, it doesn't fit in there. I guarantee it fits in the bin. I've flown 100 times.
But no, you're not allowed. It doesn't matter. It's got to fit in this special measuring device.
No, but anytime a reader has any questions, feel free to email me and we can talk about it on air. But I did get a tweet from one of your readers saying that I'm not very techie, so I want to give a techie website before I go.
You are plenty techie for me. Are you kidding? I'm completely happy. But I did want to know what carry-ons you carry. So I'm glad there are some very fancy kind of titanium carbon fiber things. But you know, a duffel bag's good because it squishes. And
this is my carry-on right here.
You can always jam it in.
I don't know if you can even see it.
Well, it is radio, John, so it doesn't really.
Oh, whoa!
I can see it. I can see it, but because we're on Skype, you and I, but and the people watching at home can't. But the radio audience has no idea. But hold that up to the microphone.
No, everyone always told me I had a face for radio.
No, you're great. All right, so give us a techie website.
Okay, so this is last week. I talked about backbid.com.
I thought that was great. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's very techie, by the way. So I don't know what that guy's talking about.
Oh, don't listen to him.
But this one is Tingo.com.
T-I-N-G-O.
Yep, bring that up. And that's owned by Smarter Travel Media, which is owned by TripAdvisor.
You know, do you use TripAdvisor? I like TripAdvisor a lot.
You know, I don't.
You have mixed feelings about it.
Yes, mixed feelings.
Why? You mean so I go there, before I go to a hotel, I'll read the reviews on TripAdvisor.
Some of them you can trust, some of them you can't.
You can't always trust them. Sometimes it's a competitor's review, right?
Yeah, you can tell when a competitor's doing it or one of their PR people are doing it.
Yeah.
And
so this is what does Tingo do? This is also from TripAdvisor.
Okay, so what this does is you book through their website and they're non-refundable. You book a fully refundable room.
It's hotels only.
Only hotels.
Okay.
And you don't want to do it last minute. This is not for 24 hours or less. This is for weeks in advance. And by the way, I just read a stat that between 65 and 80% of online hotel bookings are made the same day as the check-in.
Wow. I needed a hotel. I just suddenly realized, oh my gosh, where am I going to stay?
Yeah.
All right.
And but this one is for weeks out. It's best at least 4 weeks out because you book a hotel and you got to choose the one that says money back with the plus sign.
Okay.
And if you book it, anytime that hotel gets cheaper, they will automatically give you a credit towards your credit card, on your credit card. Immediately give you credit.
So if I'm going to go to Vegas.
And you don't have to do anything. It's not like Orbitz's or what's the other one I'm looking at? I just wrote it down. Hotwire. You know, they have a money back guarantee too, but that is if someone books the same exact room type. This is just and the same dates. This is the same hotel.
So I like the Bellagio. I can get a deluxe. I can get a resort room for $279, a deluxe fountain view for $349.
Okay, but these prices are not like these are okay prices. I still think you get a better deal by going through Priceline and stuff.
But they're going to give me a rebate if it's a money back room.
That's the thing. If the price drops, they will credit you. They'll give you your money back. And so I just did a search for San Francisco since you're based up there.
Yeah.
And last month they had 136 hotels had price drops up there. And the average drop was $52. So people got $52 back.
They drop the prices as you get closer and closer to the day and they haven't sold the room and they want to sell it.
Right.
So is Tingo not making the reservation? Are they just kind of watching?
No. They make the reservation. You are in there, but it's a refundable reservation. So that way,
that's,
it changes.
Got it.
And that's the key. You got to book it. You got to book the refundable one because they have others on that site are non-refundable.
Well, and they'll tell you this hotel's price has dropped 207 times in the last 30 days with an average drop of $67. This is a Vegas hotel. Of course, they are the ones who are constantly manipulating the price.
And because it's owned by TripAdvisor, they tie in their reviews, which Excellent. You can see, and I hear the music coming. So.
JohnnyJet.com. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks for having me on.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
It's your body. Take care.
It is your body, so take care of it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, in studio with me visiting. We have an open studio, by the way, and you're always welcome to come by anytime. The Brick House Studio, just email tickets at twit.tv. Is it ticks? Maybe it's T-I-X. Is it ticks, T-I-X at twit.tv, or is it tickets? I can't even remember. Tickets? Tickets at twit.tv. They're very affordable, $150 to $500. No, we don't charge you, not a penny. But we do like to know if you're going to be here so we can have a seat available for you. So may I mention Dr. Dean Jean is here. He's the backstage doctor for the Oscars. And we were just talking about these Briggs and Riley cases. He loves them for traveling. And see, now I'm kind of interested. See, it's a good topic. What's the best? I think you get frequent flyers together, and one of the first things they'll start talking about is, well, what kind of luggage do you like? What do you carry? Weird MI says the reason we ask for people to email us is so we can hide the booze before you get here. No, we keep it hidden all the time. I don't need any announcement. Louis in Boca, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Louis. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Leo. Great talking to you. I have a question. I've got a laptop, and all of a sudden, the sound has this echo in it. And I don't know how to resolve it.
Is it all the time, or is it only when you're using Skype?
No, it's all the time.
All the time.
Makes it very difficult to listen for anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's annoying, isn't it?
Very annoying.
Why would a laptop start having an echo? You should check in your mixer. You know, in the lower right-hand corner, the taskbar down there, you'll see a number of icons, including a speaker icon. If you right-click on that, you can open up the mixer. That's the driver that comes with your sound card. And you might check to see if you've got any sound enhancement settings turned on. Sometimes that can do it. I'm looking in the chat room to see if they have any other, you know, there's no reverb button, but sometimes they have sound enhancement stuff. Make sure your microphone is turned off. Oh, I know. You know, there is a mic pass-through checkbox in some sound cards. That might be what you're getting. That's, in fact, I'm sure that's what it is. So look in the settings there. Sometimes they have a mic pass-through so that you can talk and hear yourself talking. That's fine with headphones on, but really not good with the speakers because you'll get feedback through it. So I bet you your microphone monitoring is turned on. And that's an easy thing to accidentally turn on. I realize that before the break, we had John on from Southern California. Sorry about that, John. Welcome. Thanks for hanging on.
I just bought a refurbished HP laptop, which came with a brand new install of Vista Home Premium.
Okay.
It's a 186 gig partition.
Yeah.
I want to create a restore because it didn't come with a restore partition.
Usually, they'll give you a program that says create restore disks. Have you seen anything like that?
No, and I did some research. Google was not my friend. it told me how to do it, but it's not available in the home. You're supposed to be able to make one, but I guess it's only in the more expensive edition.
Let me ask, where did you get the refurb from?
eBay.
Okay, so it wasn't from HP.
No.
Yeah, so this sounds like and I'm going to do an air quotes, refurb. And
possible.
Yeah, my suspicion is that whoever refurbed it didn't even put, I would bet, a legitimate copy of Vista on it. He probably just had a OEM version that he's installed on hundreds of machines.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does
so
have a Vista sticker on it, although I don't think I can read it. But
if it's legitimate, that will be not only will there be a sticker, but it'll have a serial number on it. That's your you need that serial number. I bet you don't have a serial number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I would suggest, in fact, it's probably a good idea anyway, is to buy a Windows 7 upgrade disk if you can. You might have to go to Windows 8. But if you look,
I don't really want to use Windows except for a tax program and iTunes. Otherwise, I use Linux.
Oh, wonderful.
But, it doesn't play nice with TaxAct or with iTunes.
Right. Now, in fact, that it's funny because that probably laptop is a great Linux machine.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to have you use Vista. Well, the Vista's working, right? And I understand you want to make a restore disk
down and then make an image, but
yeah, so that's what you should do before you use it too much more.
Well, I haven't used it at all.
Perfect.
I created a user account and then I said, "No, I'm going to back up."
Smart man.
So I backed to the restore point.
Right.
But now my working section is 30 gigabytes.
Yeah. I would image that drive, get an external drive and drive imaging software like Drive Snapshot, which is a drivesnapshot.de, and image the entire drive to an external drive. Now, that means that you can get right back to the point you're at right now. It's not the same as a Windows restore disk, but since you haven't done a whole lot to it.
I haven't done anything to
perfect.
It.
Perfect. You'll get right back to where you were. In fact, get a drive that's big enough to hold several images. Make one image now of the pristine disk. Then install iTunes, your tax software, update it, you know, fix it up, add, you know, shutters, paint, and then make an image of that. And your next time you restore, you'll restore right to the point you want to be instead of having to reinstall all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fine. That's all those system recovery disks are.
I'd like to create a separate home directory so that if I do muck up the operating system, I can just redo it without it touching my own files.
Right. That's a good idea, too. What you'll want to do is partition the drive.
Now, is it better to do that within Vista or to do it externally with...
You can't do it within Vista. You'll have to do it externally using...
So Puppy Linux to the rest.
Yeah, there you go. Parted and create partitions. So this is a good time, frankly, to make a copy of the drive so that you can back out of this. Then create a D drive, and you'll tell Windows, and this works pretty well, that, hey, my documents and settings folders on the D drive, my home folders on the D drive. That way, and I always do this, I don't like to have my operating system on the same drive, whether it's imaginary or physical. In this case, it's imaginary. It's what we call a partition, a virtual drive. I don't like to have it because then if I blast the operating system out, I have to, you know, my data's on the same drive. This way, it's on a separate drive. It's safe. I would check to make sure that that you have a legitimate copy of Vista. See if it's been activated. If you can activate it, then you might. It always makes me nervous. When you buy something on eBay, a, quote, refurbished machine on eBay, and it doesn't come with any disks, I think it's highly likely that it's not a legitimate copy of Windows on there. Uncle Bick in our chat room says, if you look under All Programs Maintenance or in the HP folder, you might find a Make Recovery Disks utility in there. That's where HP typically puts it. That'll allow you to make a recovery disk. I like the idea of making a disk image better. I really do. I think that's a nice thing to have anyway. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. More calls right after this. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Going back to the phones, Dave in Miami Beach, Florida. Hey, Dave, Leo Laporte.
Hey, Leo. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. It's sunny Miami. Thank you very much for taking my call.
I'm so jealous.
I'm in big trouble.
Uh-oh. What happened?
With the missus. I tried to do something nice, and I ended up creating a problem. And
so
now
remember, no good deed goes unpunished.
That's what my mother always said.
Especially when it comes to computers.
So... basically, what happened is her desktop XP machine, I thought it would be really nice to put Windows 7 on it.
Very nice. That's very nice. Tell your wife I thought that was very generous of you.
Hear what he says? He says, I'm nice. So I loaded Windows XP after I backed up all of the files. Okay. And because I've been watching your show for a long, long time.
See, honey, what's your wife's name?
Christine.
See, Christine, he even backed up your files first. That was very thoughtful of him.
She doesn't back them up.
She doesn't. You do. See? That's good, Dave. So far, you've done everything right. Keep going.
Okay. So I backed up everything, and I bought a brand new fresh copy of Windows 7.
Yeah.
And I loaded it on her machine. And her machine had 2 gigs of memory on it. After I loaded Windows 7 on it, everything was fine for a little while, and then the mouse started freezing up. So I said, okay, well, maybe it's the drivers, because Leo says always check the drivers.
Always check the drivers.
So I made sure I had the latest drivers. Everything was fine with the Microsoft mouse. And then it was fine for a little while, and then I said, well, then it started freezing again. And I said, well, maybe I need more memory. So I ordered 2 more sticks of memory. Now she has 4 gigs of memory.
Oh, man, Christine, you're living large. Dave has done right by you. Keep going. I'm trying to save this marriage, folks.
You know, we're newlyweds. So I have
you're newlyweds? Oh.
Yeah. So, all right. So then after I put the additional memory in, everything was working fine for a little while, and then the mouse started freezing again.
Yeah, I don't think it's what you did. I think there's something wrong with the mouse.
Well, this was it, Leo. The mouse froze, but also the system clock stopped ticking.
Ooh,
also.
Ooh, that means it's hung up, yeah. Yeah, something's going on there. Yeah.
Every time she reboots the machine, she yells at me.
Christine, come on. Dave did everything right. So now there is something going on here that is problematic, obviously. When you did the Windows 7 upgrade from XP, did you do a fresh install?
Absolutely. That's what you always say. Do a fresh install.
You see, that's exactly right. So that eliminates some of my concerns. Sometimes when you mix 2 versions of Windows, you can get some weird side effects like that, but that's not it. sometimes when Windows is indexing, it will hesitate. And this is what it sounds like is happening. You get some hesitation. Because after the clock stops, it starts up again, right? It's a few seconds later.
No. Once it freezes, that's it.
It doesn't move anymore?
No, nothing.
So then you have to reboot.
Have to reboot to get it to start again. And believe me, I waited 3 weeks to try to ask you these questions because I tried everything in the meanwhile.
Yeah. Well, Christine, I think it's time to get Dave to buy a new computer. Oh, she liked that one. She's saying, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Leo.
Okay, well, I'm trying to think what could be going on here. I think it's coincidental, frankly. I think the computer is starting to fail. It's an older computer. It's almost 10 years old, right?
No, I'd say it's about 4 or 5, maybe 4 years
No,
old.
It's more than that. You couldn't buy XP that recently.
Well, it was working fine with XP until I started screwing with it.
But I don't think putting Windows 7 on it is going to cause these particular issues. It sounds to me like the hard drive might be a little flaky. Have you tried a different mouse just to see if it was the mouse?
Yes, tried a different mouse.
And same problem.
Same thing.
Yeah, and you went to Microsoft and downloaded the latest IntelliMouse software, right?
Absolutely,
yeah,
Leo.
Yeah. So, to me, this hesitation is the computer is locking up, and it's not the mouse. It's either some software's on there that is crashing it pretty hard. You've run Windows Update to make sure you have all the latest drivers on it, right?
She has all the updates and Security Essential.
Obviously, you listen carefully to the show, Dave, and you've done everything right. I don't think Christine can blame you in any way here.
He doesn't blame me.
You've done everything right. There's something else going on, and it could be a power supply is flaky. It's not Windows 7. It's just, you know, it may be that you touch this computer and when you install Windows 7, you format the drive first?
Absolutely. Yeah. Format is a fresh format.
Okay.
The only thing left that I didn't really change was the video card. Could the video card do it?
Sure, it could be overheating. This, you know, this kind of crash is a pretty serious crash. This isn't like, you know, Internet Explorer dying. This is your system freezing is a very serious kind of hardware failure. That's why the Windows 7 upgrade did not do this. It's a hardware failure, and it's probable that the computer was going to do this no matter what happened.
All right.
It could be. Now, you were having this before you put the more memory in, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you don't see any other symptoms, weird screen artifacts or anything else going on? It's just every once. How often does it freeze?
Every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes. It's overheating is what it sounds like. I would look inside there. When you open it up, make sure those fans are running, that the fan on the CPU is well attached. I think it's overheating. And a computer will do that. If it gets too hot, it'll just stop.
Will the CPU shut the computer down?
It sure will.
It will.
It's doing that to protect itself.
All right.
And so my suspicion is that's what's happening, is it's getting too hot. It's a desktop or a laptop? It's a desktop, right?
It's a desktop machine, yeah.
Make sure open it up again. Make sure it's clean, that the fans are blowing, that there's free flow of air through there. I would particularly look at the CPU. Make sure that the CPU fan is well attached. It's overheating is almost certainly what's going on.
Could be overheating. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely.
And that's not really Windows 7. It's just age, frankly.
Okay. Well, I guess the worst thing, Christine, is you'll get a new computer then.
Yeah. Dave owes you a new computer, Christine. Anything to preserve harmony in the home. You know that, Dave. Most two important words are yes, dear.
Yes,
dear. Yes, dear. Dave, you did everything right. I don't think that this has to do with Windows 7. It really sounds like it's running too hot. Wait a minute now. Somebody in the chat room's giving me a link. It could be. Here's one more thing you could do, because it is an older machine, is go into the display settings and turn down all the settings. Turn off Windows Aero. Turn off all the graphic, you know, niceties, the fancy stuff that 7 does. XP didn't do this. Christine will never miss it. She'll probably prefer it. And it may be that it's overworking the video card. So turn them off. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here he is, my friends. We call him the Gizwiz. Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Yes. A gadget fanatic.
Yes.
And an expert in all things digital. And he joins us each week to talk about some cool gadget he's been playing with lately. What is it, Dick?
Well, I'm going to talk about my 4 minutes with the Galaxy 4.
Oh, you went to the event.
I went to the event.
Okay, now you're Mr. Showbiz. Yes. You've written parodies of every movie from the Poseidon Adventure to Starsky and Hutch. You're an expert on this stuff.
Yes.
You went to Radio City Music Hall. You saw this Samsung event. It, from a distance, watching over the stream as we did, it looked a little cheesy. But I thought, well, maybe it's just Broadway.
No, I think the problem was they rented Radio City Music Hall probably for $2 million.
Right.
And they got there and they said, you know, this stage is 120 feet long and 80 feet high. And are we going to stand here at a podium?
We got to fill it.
Yes. I think they were trying to do like a 50s sitcom kind of thing.
Oh, they had a elevator sets that went up and up and up. I mean, they had this was elaborate.
Yeah, yes.
But did you enjoy? I thought the people in the theater probably enjoyed the show more than those of us at home.
You know what? A little bit. I like it when they go outside of character. I always love it when they say, and this is my wife and my son. Yeah. And in 1 hour, they'll be out of work because they're both actors. You know, I like
they
when they do.
They did a lot of that. Maybe a little too much of that.
But you know what? It should have been shorter. You know what? If I was doing it, I would get somebody from like Cirque Soleil.
Yeah.
Have someone do something astounding for 3 minutes and then say,
then show us
if
the
you
phone.
Think that's astounding, look what this phone can do.
So
and not do sketches.
It was a little much. But you know what? Let's forget it. Because you saw, you touched, you spent 3 whole minutes with the Galaxy S4.
Yes. Well, you know, considering that that there were 6,500 people, it was chaotic getting
in. I can't believe you got anywhere near it.
Yeah. Well, it was very clever. And I heard part of your coverage and you said if this was an Apple event, the first 20 rows would have been all Samsung employees.
Right.
They took out the first 20 rows and set up hundreds of demo units. Then on every level, like I was on level 3, which is the only place that had seats left, when after the presentation, while you were in the presentation, they were setting up 50 and 60 demo units outside your door. So as soon as I came out, I ran over to the table and was fast enough to get one of the demo units.
You're good with the elbows too, right? I mean, out of my way.
Yeah. Yes. But what was great, Leo, was that I had my Galaxy 3 with me and I was able to hold them up back to back. And I'm thinking, you know what? This does have a bigger screen, but it's not that much bigger. And so you can see already on the Galaxy 4, the bezel is much thinner.
Right.
So there's much more screen.
It's actually slightly smaller than the S3 with a much bigger screen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the screen is knockout beautiful.
Yeah.
So I shot a couple of snapshots with it, they were great. And the guy next to me said, basketball is always hard to see on the phone. So he somehow got into some basketball footage. And everybody looking over his shoulder was oohing and ahhing about how blur-free it was.
Oh, that's good. So that's a fast response time. So
exactly.
It sounds like now you're an S3 user. Do you think you'll upgrade?
You know what? I think I will. You know, there's no price yet.
Right.
All they're saying is end of April, every carrier. And my big thing was when the guy said, of course, a phone like this requires more power. I go, don't say the battery's built in. Don't say the battery's built in. Don't say it. And then he said, so it's now a 2600 milliamp battery. Pause. And yes, it's replaceable.
Yeah. To me, that's huge. It's
because
I always buy a couple of extra batteries. And that way I can carry 2 batteries in my pocket. If I'm on a long plane flight or I'm not anywhere near, I can plug in. I can always just put in another battery. I can get many days of it is a much bigger battery, too, which means you probably get some pretty good battery life just with the one battery.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I I don't know the use for it, but I like the fact that the two cameras can work at the same time.
That's kind of weird. So you can, it's for the true narcissist. You're taking a picture of your daughter as a ballerina, and it insets into it a picture of you going, ooh.
Yes, yes, yes. And also, I don't know if you caught this. I don't know who in the world would ever need this. If you had five Galaxy 4s, you could set up surround sound.
Wasn't that weird?
With a right and left and back. I mean, why would you do this?
It's tinny surround sound because it's coming out of the phone speakers.
Yes. Well, you'd have to buy a subwoofer for $800. But
isn't that an odd thing? Yeah, it has this party mode where all the phones could play the same thing, but I didn't realize you could also do surround sound with it. That's hysterical.
Yes, you can do surround sound. That's hysterical. Think one of the phones becomes like the headphone, the master phone, and it can control the volume of the other phones.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, I think it's good looking. I like the faster processor. I like the new screen a lot, the Super AMOLED display, 441 pixels. If it comes in like at $200 or so, I'll be there.
It probably will. Yeah. Dick DiBartolo, he is going to be back. We do a GizWiz podcast with your favorite gadgets every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on twit.tv. And stick around after the show. Those of you watching on the stream will have our regular Giz Fizz. If you go to gizwiz.biz, you can play the What the Heck Is It contest for a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. All you have to do is figure out what that blue towel holder is. Oh, I mean that. I mean that the ring thing.
Round thing. The round blue
the
thing.
The round blue thing.
That's nothing like a towel holder.
Thanks, Dick. Stick around. The Giz Fizz coming up. Doug in Temecula. I think you might be the last call of the day. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Really good. Thanks for taking my call. Leo,
sure.
I'm trying to post ads on Craigslist, and I keep getting flagged. I was told they monitor by IP address or by email address.
I mean, there's no reason to be flagged. It's not an inappropriate ad of any kind?
No. It's for a home business. I'm a Herbalife rep.
Some of the flagging can be done by somebody who doesn't like you. And,
sure.
And some of it can be done automatically by eBay. And it's probably true that if it's flagged instantly, I mean, it could be an enemy, you know, who's keeping an eye out for Doug's post, right? Or it could be somebody who doesn't like Herbalife, who's constantly posting. You could be putting it in the wrong section. So it could be all of that. But it also could be that you have somehow gotten into a list of bad IP addresses and they don't, you know, that's an automatic spam banning. Impossible to know and unfortunately impossible to fix. Craigslist is not exactly super responsive on this kind of thing. You can, if you don't want to use your IP address, there are ways to use other IP addresses, things like the Onion Router, Tor. So you could try that. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it's just some other Herbalife rep who doesn't want any competition. And he just gets in there and flags you. But if you use a VPN or Tor, it will hide your IP address. That will, anyway, eliminate that as a possible reason that your IP address is on a blacklist. I'm sorry that's happening. Craigslist is far from perfect. We all know it. Hey, thanks for joining me. I hope you had a great day and a great time here. I'm glad you came. Come back soon. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, techguylabs.com. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.